Morning. If we can turn again this morning to Galatians chapter 5. It's kind of the verse we've been considering together. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Let's pray. Lord, we do find ourselves rejoicing as we have been in Thy presence. Lord, the vastness of Your table and all that it speaks of truly does overwhelm our heart. And we do return, Lord, with grateful hearts unto Him who has loved us. And Lord, we're thankful that You are that one who is with us. And Lord, You're a very present help. And we look to You, Lord, during this time. Lord, to help us. Help us in speaking. Help us in hearing. Help us to really feed upon this bread of life, Lord. Lord, we have broken one loaf as a testimony unto You. We break the bread of life, Your word now. Lord, that You would use it to be working within us, conforming us unto Your image and preparing us for Your return. We're blessed, Lord, that by faith we can enter into all that You have for us this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we were looking at this verse about you were running well, who hindered you? And we looked at it because as we were coming out of the conference, we find ourselves running well. We're very blessed, we're very strengthened. But we know from history at times we can go along for a while, and all of a sudden we start heading down this, the graph starts going downward, and we're not running quite as well. So we wanted to look at the Scripture to see if we could get some help on how we could continue to be running well every day of our life. And we've chosen to look at Samson and Samuel, because as you look at these two men, they both had a wonderful beginning. But there came a point in their lives where one started going down and one started continued on. And that's actually why I chose that hymn. I like the hymn. But if you look at it from Samson's perspective, he was very content where he was. He wasn't desiring to press on. He wasn't desiring for anything more. He was just content with all of the pleasures and the joys of life. But as we look at Samuel today, Samuel was always pressing on. In the spirit of Paul, he was pressing on that he might know the Lord. Throughout Samuel's life, it testifies as he was growing, and he continued to grow. And as we look at Samuel today, would we be captured by that same spirit to keep pressing on, to know our Lord more and more? We said that both of these men had very similar beginnings. We shared how both of their mothers were barren, and God in His marvelous grace intervened in Manoah's wife and in Hannah. We see how both of them, they had that good home environment. Both of their mothers loved the Lord. We see how both of them had a call of God upon their life. That call of God, and there was purpose within both of their lives. We saw how both of them were called to be a Nazarite, how they were to be set apart unto the Lord, to be serving Him. Both of them had that good beginning, full of promise. Everything was so blessed. They had need of nothing. They had been so equipped. And brothers and sisters, as we really stop and reflect upon our life and all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, that's where we are. We've got a marvelous beginning. We've received everything that we could ever think of. We start off this life in the Lord with need of nothing, because this table testifies He is our all in all. He is our Alpha, our Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Our all sufficiency is in Him. And we're so thankful for that. But we also know that quite often we end up being like a Samson, and we don't enter in to the fullness of the riches of his life. Samson wasn't able to enter in, and he ends up violating his Nazarite vow three times because he chose to live for his own self. The pleasures of self, the pleasures of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. He was living for himself. And because of that, Samson never became the man of God that God desired that he would be. Praise God, at the end of Samson's life, we can see that he comes to his senses and he repents and God uses him. As we look at Samson's life, we're so thankful for the mercy of God seen in Samson at the end of his life. But is that what we rejoice about? Is our goal just to end up like Samson and live our life however we want to, but in the end, everything will work out? It kind of reminded me of what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. There were some that were saved, but they were saved by fire. Barely saved. All of the wood, hay, and straw, everything got burned up. It wasn't, but they were saved. And in one sense, we can say, Samson, he was saved, but he missed out on a lot of reward. He missed out on a lot of blessings. There was so much more. And I imagine when Samson was in that prison, there was some weeping and gnashing of teeth on what could have been. And what could have been. And we don't want to be living a life of what could have been. We don't want to be those that end up weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we want to be those that are enjoying the goodness and presence of the Lord now, because He's made it available to us in His beloved Son. I was received an email this week from a brother who had listened to the message on the tape ministry thing. And he had a thought, and I thought it was good. I just wanted to share it with you on some thoughts on Samson. And he is you see Samson as you look back upon his life. He applied it to today. He said, God had been faithful to Samson even when he was not. Samson went into the vineyard. God still gave him strength. Samson touched the dead. God still gave him strength. So maybe Samson came to the place and had the thought when he was with Delilah, I can do anything against my vows, and God will overlook it and still give me strength. Could this be a picture of much of the church today? Much of the church today saying, I can still do anything I want and still expect the blessing of God. Just a thought. There are, you know, we find within our own lives, we can still think we can just do anything we want and still look for God's blessing. In the end, Samson finally got God's blessing, but there was a great price. Brethren, we can enjoy the wonderful blessing and goodness of the Lord every day of our life. It can be that very present one. And so as we come to Samuel today, we want to look at one who was able to continue running in an unhindered way. He wasn't hindered by his own self. But as we see Samuel today, he was really pressing on and continuing to allow the Lord to meet him in spite of some pretty difficult circumstances. So turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. The book of 1 Samuel opens up in chapter 1, and we're somewhat familiar with the story of how Hannah, Samuel's mother, she was barren at that point in time. But she loved the Lord very much, and she was pleading to the Lord and crying out to the Lord for a child. And every year she would be really beseeching the Lord. And praise God, in His wonderful grace and mercy, the Lord answered her. And we see how Samuel was born by the grace of God. We're very thankful for that. Out of the petition of a mother's heart came forth Samuel. And we see how during her petition, she had committed him to the Lord. She had committed him as a Nazarite to the Lord. Praise God, Samuel took up this vow. And after Samuel was born, after he was weaned, Hannah and her husband, they take Samuel to the temple because they were dedicating him to the Lord, and he was going to be serving there. It really speaks of her love for the Lord. And if you look at the end of chapter 1, verse 28, this is Hannah speaking. She says, "So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he, Samuel, worshipped the Lord there. It's very precious as a young man. Now, we don't know his age. Commentators go ballistic over all the varieties of ages that are picked. But he was a young person at this time. But we see that as his mother had dedicated him to the Lord, one of the things he had learned from his mother, he had learned to worship the Lord. At that young age, there was something of worship. What is worship? Worship is simply declaring the worship of our wonderful Lord. It's putting Him in His rightful place and us staying in our rightful place. It's declaring that He is the worthy one. And he had learned this. Samson never learned this. But Samuel at a young age and throughout his life learned that the Lord was worthy. He was the worthy one. And Samuel was going to live unto Him. We can see throughout, you can look in chapter 2, verse 11. Again, it speaks, the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Down in chapter 2, verse 18, it says, now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. See, I make some mistakes just to see if you're awake. But at this young age, he made a choice. And what captured his heart and his life was he was not living for himself. It was like as if he was living to minister to the Lord. Every day of his life, he was going to declare the worship. He was going to declare how worthy the Lord was and how precious this is, because we can see what a solid foundation he had. He wasn't looking for other things. He was living to proclaim the excellency of the one who had first loved him. And it's interesting, even as we start to look at Samuel's life, that he actually had a few more challenges as a young person than Samson did. Because the environment, it sounds very strange to say, but the environment that Samuel grows up in is really a challenging environment. Now, he's living there with Eli and the priest where the tabernacle is, and they're all there together. And you would think that would be a wonderful environment to be in. But look at who he was surrounded by. We see how at a young age, Samuel makes a choice of not giving in to youthful lust and the circumstances and the temptation of life. If you look at in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, in verses 12 through 17, it describes Eli's sons. And we're not going to read all those verses, but if you read, it's summarized in verses 12 and 17. In 1 Samuel 2:12, it says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. What a testimony. They were worthless men. And they did not know the Lord. In verse 17, it describes the sins that they were committing with the offerings and abusing the people. And it says, thus the sin of the young men was great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. Later on in verse 22, it says how these sons were even sleeping with the women. As they would come to make their offering, they would abuse the women. So these were really pretty worthless men. And these were the guys that young Samuel, was growing up with. Now, it's marvelous testimony that in spite of the circumstances and the peer pressure and the evil that was surrounding him, he did not conform to that. He didn't use it as an excuse to say, oh, if I had better circumstances in life, I could serve the Lord that much more. If these two sons of Eli weren't so horrible, I could live a better life. Because you know, evil hates it when somebody good is around them. You get a couple of guys that are really out of it, and you find somebody that's trying to follow the Lord, they're going to try everything they can to ensnare this guy. They're going over to little Sammy and say, Sammy, come on over here. We got these women for you. Come on over here. We'll give you some good meat. Come on over here. We've got some good drink for you. We'll give you all these temptations. And how there's this desire within any young person, within any old person. We desire acceptance. We don't want to be left out. And there's this, what's the peer pressure thing? And there's this pull. So we don't need to look at it as rose-colored glasses. Samuel was tempted pretty tough. It was right in his face, but he made a choice. He saw there was a relationship that he had in his heart with the Lord. And he said no to the lust of the eyes. No to the pride of life. And he said no, and he continued ministering to the Lord. He was faithful. He was so faithful to the Lord, and he didn't make an excuse. So often we can find ourselves, we can say, oh, you know, if my home life was a little better, I could really be following the Lord that much more. If my work environment was a little bit better, I could follow the Lord a little bit more. If the school that I was in, if there were more Christians in that school, Oh, I could really be a better Christian. We could go on and on again with that, with coming up with the excuses of why we're not pressing on to that higher ground, why we're not pressing on to know Him more and more. But praise God, Samuel, at this young age, there was no excuse. In spite of all the circumstances, in spite of all the evil, and we see today how evil is abounding more and more, in spite of all of that, Samuel was faithful to the Lord. As it said, we read it earlier in verse 18, right after that, it says, and Samuel continued, he was ministering before the Lord. He continued to keep the Lord as his one desire and his one perspective. What a precious testimony, brothers and sisters, as we go through this life, keeping our eyes upon the Lord and allowing Him to be the one that strengthens us and keeps us. And as he does that, as marvelous, it continues on in chapter 2, verse 21. It says how, and the boy Samuel, he grew before the Lord. He continued to grow before the Lord. And not only before the Lord, but as you go down into verse 26, it says, now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and favor before both with the Lord and with men. This means not only as he grew with the Lord, we could say that's a private life. That's our private life of devotion and relationship we have with Him. But as you grow with men, that's a testimony. That's a public testimony. These ones, as ones would come to make their offerings, they could tell a difference between a Samuel and the sons of Eli. They could say there's something different about this one. And he was growing in favor. And they could see as he was serving, he wasn't robbing them. He was helping them come to the Lord. The priests at that time were to be there to help the brethren to come into the presence of the Lord, to be of a help and an assistance, not to be a hindrance. Eli's sons were a hindrance. Samuel, in that wonderful spirit that he had, was a real help of bringing ones into the presence of the Lord, bringing ones offerings and sacrifices before the Lord so they could know they were fully accepted, not robbing God of anything that he was due. How precious it is. And this speaks of how Samuel, as he was growing, he was not only called and gifted, but we see there was a character developing within him. He not only had the call of God, the gifting of God upon his life, but there was a character, we can say the character of Christ, being formed within him at that age. Then that's what was the testimony of Samuel. Imagine if we asked Samuel, what's your testimony? He would say, it's not I, but Christ. He was faithful to that. That was his testimony. That's who he was seeking to testify to and to serve. And praise God for this wonderful faithfulness. We come to chapter 3. We can see how it starts off in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. There he's continuing to minister. But look at the environment here in which he's continuing to minister and serve the Lord. He said, continuing in verse 1, it says, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim. He couldn't see well. And the lamp of the God had not gone out yet. What is speaking of here, beyond the physical, was a real weakened spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. This says, as it says here, the word of the Lord was rare. Visions were infrequent. There was a weakened spiritual condition. Eli, it talks about how his eyes had grown dim, not just from old age, but spiritually. His eyes had grown dim. And we see there, the spiritual leader was weakened. The spiritual leader was in a weakened condition. And actually, the lamp of the God had not yet gone out. The testimony, that light that was to shine bright, it was glimmering. It hadn't gone out yet, but the testimony was in a weakened condition also. Oh, how the Lord desires that lamp would shine bright, that testimony would be bright, that those spiritual leaders would be strong, their eyes open, full of wisdom and revelation and discernment, that the Word of God would be frequent, that people would be able to really see all that God desires. This is the spiritual time which little Samuel had to grow up in. And the marvelous thing about Samuel was that in spite of the poor spiritual conditions, the poor spiritual leaders, the testimony being weakened, Samuel was faithful to the Lord, and he continued to grow, and he was able to serve the Lord in a full way in all of these times. He didn't use the weakened spiritual condition as an excuse. Oh, if the spiritual life was better, I could be serve the Lord more. Oh, if so-and-so and all of this was in a better condition. Oh, if Eli, the spiritual leader, had been stronger, I could be stronger. If the testimony had been brighter, I would be able to be stronger. No. In spite of all of this current spiritual condition that he found himself in, Samuel was faithful to the Lord and continued growing. And brothers and sisters, in a similar way, the days we're living in are, as we've said many times recently, there's weakened spiritual condition. And we do not need to allow ourselves to use that as an excuse. But we keep pressing on because we keep our eyes upon Him. The Lord Jesus has not weakened in any way. God is the same. He's the is and who was and who is to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, His expression amongst His people, we might be in a weakened place, but He has not weakened. Praise God for that. And we just want to be those that are really allowing the Lord to meet us. And Samuel was so precious because there wasn't any excuse. And he wasn't captured by any spirit of self-pity. Oh, don't you feel sorry for me? Oh, these conditions and circumstances that I have to live in. Oh, if you had to live with these two guys, you know, if you had to live in this spiritual realm, don't you feel sorry for me? There was no self-pity here. So often when we look around, we get our circumstances and that self-pity just cries out. Samuel wasn't looking for any self-pity. He was looking for the Lord, and he was pressing on, strong in Him and the power of His life. So we just want to be those that are in that same way. Are really pressing on. And we see as Samuel presses on, we have the marvelous story before us of how the Lord meets him in a very personal way. Before this, Samuel hasn't had this personal encounter with the Lord. But then he comes to that point in time in his life where he comes face to face with the Lord and he yields to Him. As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll pick up in verse 3. It says, "The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." Now, the New American Standard says temple. Now, we know the temple hadn't been built then. So I'm not sure why they use the word temple, but you can ask someone else on that. "The Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' And then he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you call me.' But he said, 'I didn't call you. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you call me.' But he answered, 'I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not know yet that the Lord had the word of the Lord. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you call me.' Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for thy servant is listening.'" In the midst of all of the circumstances and everywhere that Samuel was, I love this picture of where Samuel chose to rest, where he was. If you look at the end of verse 3, it says how Samuel was there resting by the ark. He was lying down by the ark. And to me, this speaks of his wonderful secret of how he could endure all of the things in life. He was making his home in Christ. He was lying down. Now, the ark speaks of Christ. That's the testimony of Jesus. It speaks of him. And Samuel knew this. And so he was there. He was lying by the ark. We know he couldn't get right inside there, but he was getting close as he could in that proximity. We're thankful now that the veil has been rent and we can come in and we can abide there. What a wonderful picture of one abiding in Christ. In the midst of all the circumstances, he found his home. There was a place of abiding and a place of rest, staying near the ark. Through every battle, through every circumstance, through whatever was going on, Samuel was one of those. He wanted to be near the Lord. He wanted to, and he experienced abiding in Christ, knowing of that wonderful place of security and safety. And this was that wonderful way. It was in that place that the Lord was able to speak to him. And he spoke to him those three times, and he really didn't know it was the Lord. But he heard, but he didn't know. But it's precious how God gives us time to understand. God is so patient with us. He just doesn't speak one time to us, and if you don't get it, he never says something again. God was patient with Samuel. He spoke to him again. He didn't get it. Tried again, didn't get it. Finally, Eli discerned, and God spoke again. And Samuel was there learning to hear the voice of the Lord. He learned to hear that voice, and he obeyed that voice. And the wonderful thing about Samuel was as he learned that voice, as he obeyed that voice, he made himself available to the Lord. He says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant is listening." He was confessing that he was Lord. This was his point of consecration. His point when he came in life, he said, "I'm going this way." At this point, it was no longer just the God of his mother, but now this was his Lord and his God. He had had this personal encounter, and he had yielded. He said, "You're the Lord, I'm the servant. Speak, and whatever you say, I will be doing. I'm giving my life to you." That's what we call consecration. That's the fulfillment of that Nazarite vow that we see within Samuel. And he had, wonderful thing about Samuel was not only was he, did he have an ear to hear, and he was a willing heart, but he was also available to the Lord. By saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," you're saying, "I'm making myself available to you." And brothers and sisters, do we have time today to make ourselves available to the Lord? Or do we have everything else crowding in? The Lord was Samuel's priority. It was his priority. There was nothing else that mattered. And as the Lord spoke, he said, "Lord, I'm available to you. Use me as you want." It reminds me often of how even our Lord Jesus' mother, Mary, after when the angel had come and spoken to her and told her that she was going to be bearing the Messiah, that she said, you know, she didn't really know what was ahead of her. She didn't know anything. But she said, "Be it done to me according to thy word." She was that bondservant of the Lord. Samuel, in that same spirit, was a bondservant of the Lord, making himself available. You know, we can talk so much, and we can hear so much, but do we have an availability within our lives to allow the Lord to work out in us and through us all that He's desiring to do? So often with the times and the pressures we're living in, that we're constrained by so many things that there's not this availability. Would we be available to the Lord to really be able to press on into all that He has for Him? And after Samuel has this wonderful encounter, we see how he continues on and we see the rich blessing of the Lord. And we can pick up in verse 15, in 1 Samuel 3, verse 15. It says, "So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' He said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you.' So Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him. He said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.' Thus Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fail. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." I really was very blessed by looking at Samuel's life. And after he had this marvelous encounter with the Lord, what did he do? He went back down, went back, He laid down. I don't know how he got to sleep at night. You know, I mean, after having this encounter, he went back and he laid down. He waited until morning, and he got up and he served. He just continued going. The path, his responsibilities were to open the doors. He went back and he continued on the walk that the Lord had for him. He didn't all of a sudden think he was somebody special. Ah, God has appeared to me. Somebody else can go open the door now. I'm a little better than that. No, he was still faithful right where the Lord had him. Right where the Lord was using him, he was faithful and he continued on. And it speaks there of that wonderful diligence and the humility that you see within himself. He didn't elevate himself, but just continued faithfully right where the Lord had him. Because the Lord hadn't told him at this point to do anything else. So he was faithful with what the Lord had shown him to do. And he carried on those responsibilities. Also, I love how in verse 15 you can see Samuel's humanity. Because it said, Samuel, he was afraid to tell Eli what had happened. Because basically what the Lord had told Samuel, and actually a man of God had already visited Eli and told him this, but that Eli and his family was going to be taken out, and Samuel was going to be raised up. So you can imagine Samuel. He's a little nervous about this. It's kind of like going into work one day, and you've heard that your boss is going to be fired. And your boss says, okay, tell me what's going to happen today. And, well, boss, you're going to be fired, and I'm taking your place. I appreciate the humanity, because sometimes we can make these people seem like they're such super saints that they can do anything, and they don't have any, they don't have to wrestle with anything, they don't have any problems in life. I love how the Holy Spirit put it in here that Samuel was afraid of Eli, which is very normal. He was his mentor in one thing. He looked up to him, he respected him, and now he's got to be the one to tell him, Eli, the Lord's going to take you out and put me in. But praise God. You're wonderful. It's, you see here within Samuel how his love of God, that Samuel's love for the Lord was greater than his fear of man. So often the fear of man can grip us and can paralyze us. But Samuel didn't allow it. He had the love of God constrained him and strengthened him in such a way that the love of God was greater than the fear of man. And we can, if we're all honest within our hearts, we know the strength of the fear of man. Oh, it can be so tormenting at some times, depending upon a particular situation you're in. We can find the torment of the fear of man. And we can allow the fear of man to become greater than the love of the Lord. But by God's grace, Samuel allowed his love for the Lord to be greater than the fear of man. And could we really be in that same spirit? Because in it we see how he denied. This, it was a denying of himself. He denied his natural feelings. He denied his natural feelings and told Eli all that the Lord had said. And praise God, it says there in verse 19, and Samuel continues to grow, and the Lord was with him. Always pressing on, always growing. I love how there's this continual word growing within Samuel's life and pressing on that he might know him. We see how as the Lord used Samuel in a marvelous way, as we can look in verse 20. Again, this testimony, this public testimony, all Israel recognized that Samuel was a prophet. When it talks about Dan to Beersheba, that's simply the northernmost city and the southern city. Just saying, everybody from Maine to Florida, everybody from Dan to Beersheba. Everybody's recognizing that this guy is a prophet of God. There's something different about this one. He's not like the others that have been around. Because we remember during this time, 1 Samuel, it's the first part of this book, it's the same as the book of Judges. It's during the time of the judges. And everybody was doing what's right in their own eyes. And so out of this poor, weakened spiritual condition, the Lord raises up one who is different. And people recognize it. They say, wow, there's something that's unique. This man is a prophet of God. And how he was, it's wonderful in verse 19. It says, he grew, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Because why didn't any of Samuel's words fail? It was because Samuel only spoke the word of God. See, he didn't use his own words. He was faithful. What the Lord shared with him to speak, he spoke. So it really wasn't Samuel's words that were not failing. It was the word of God that wasn't failing. He was faithful to that. And praise God. But also he faces a new temptation. Because now the enemy's tried to, in flesh and blood, has tried to get at Samuel in many different ways. And oftentimes, if temptation and persecution and evil don't get you, what the enemy can then try to come in and use success. And now here's young Samuel. He's still a pretty young fellow. But now he has been elevated. He's a prophet. And everybody in Israel, everybody's, oh, look at Samuel. Oh, look at Samuel. Oh, now he's not dealing with the fear of man. He's having to deal with the praises of man. And how that can make you feel so good. We love the praises of man. It makes your flesh feel good. And just we love it. And so there's young Samuel, and everybody in Israel is talking about it. They're lifting him up. They're elevating him above all the others that are around him. Oh, what a temptation this was. The praises of man, the success of life in the Lord's economy. But praise God, Samuel continued to know his place. And he didn't allow that to really come in. And he was able to do that because he knew the Lord, and he had been going through many of these, we'll use a term we've been using recently, spiritual exercises. As Samuel was spiritually exercised, he had learned to deny himself. He'd learned about that dividing of soul and spirit. So when the praises came in, he was again, by the grace of God, he was able to say no to that and yes to Christ. He stayed in that place of humility, stayed in that place of lowliness. And because of his faithfulness, brothers and sisters, because of his faithfulness, the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. Because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of God. The Lord revealed himself. This was one prepared vessel. Remember the conference, preparing the way of the Lord? This was a prepared vessel. And in that spirit of preparation, through this prepared vessel, the Lord was able to appear again in Israel in the midst of their weakened condition. And there was a hope within Israel for the first time in many years. Praise God for that. And Samuel, I love how it says in verse 21, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Brethren, do we allow the word of the Lord to reveal the Lord Jesus to us? It was through the word of the Lord that Samuel saw the Lord. As we have conferences, as we have other teachings, as we have our daily time in the Scripture, are we getting that revelation of Christ? Are we seeing the revelation of Christ? Are we seeing all that the Lord has for us, all of His desire? Is that spirit of wisdom and revelation coming forth through the Word of God to us in the days that we're living in? May it be. Because the chapter started off how the Word of God was the Word from the Lord was rare. What a contrast. Starts off the chapter, the Word of the Lord was rare. In the end, the Word of the Lord is being revealed, used to reveal Christ more and more. And we know the battle that there is today over the Word of God. Many are despising it. Many are saying other things about it and trying to put it down. But brethren, there's such a need and such a dependency that we need to come into upon that daily Word of God. Now, as you continue in Samuel's life, you would think now that they would just continue on this upward way. Samuel's here and now everything's going to be wonderful. But they're like most of us. Most of the people in Israel, they didn't listen to the word of the Lord. And the Philistines, they're going to have this big battle. And the Israelites say, well, what we can do is we'll be superstitious and we'll go grab the ark. And we'll take that ark out with us into battle. We know as they did, the ark was captured by the Philistines. We also know, and this is kind of chapters 4 through 6. Through that, the the Lord really judges the Philistines, and they have all sorts of problems. And they move it here, and the people, they move it there. They don't like it because people are dying, and everybody's getting sick. And so finally, they send the ark back to Israel. They say, look, we don't want this ark anymore. And they put it on those cows and send it back to Israel. And it's received back, and it's put in this place in chapter 7 in Kiriath Jearim. As we come to chapter 7, we see how Samuel throughout this time has continued to be faithful. Because if you look in chapter 7, verse 2, it talks about how it came about from the day that the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now for 20 years, the Philistines had been ruling over them again, tormenting them and all. And finally, they're starting to return, and they start crying out to the Lord. And it's marvelous how after this 20-year time, as they cry out to the Lord, Samuel, in verses 3 through 6, Samuel calls out to them in repentance. He says, repent, return to the Lord, and praise God, the people respond. And then the Philistines hear it, and they attack again. But in the middle of this attack, the people, they don't try to defend themselves. They call upon the Lord. The Lord answers them, and the Lord, with a mighty thunder, shatters and torments and terrifies the Philistines, and Israel is able to go in and respond to the battle. Well, the basic point I wanted to make out of Samuel's life in this chapter is that the people didn't listen to him for 20 years. They didn't listen to him. But at the right time, he remained faithful. And when that time came, he was a ready and prepared vessel fit for the master's use. When the people were ready, he was there to show them the way back to the Lord. The people were continuing, they were under the domain of the Philistines and being tormented. But finally, they came to their senses, they cry out to the Lord, and Samuel doesn't sit there and say, see, I told you so, not going to help you anymore. I told you, not going to be available. Nope. He was ready, prepared, and willing at that moment. We could almost say at the fullness of time. When that time came, he was the ready and prepared vessel to lead the people back to the Lord. And so often we find ourselves, if ones don't listen to us, we just give up on them. If ones don't listen to us, if they're not going to follow the Lord, not going to do it, we just give up on them. Praise God, Samuel never gave up on the people. And it wasn't because of who they were. It was because of who God was. Samuel didn't have faith in the people. He didn't say, oh, these people, they're going to come around. He had faith in God. He knew that what was God's heart and God's purpose to have a people and to have a testimony upon this earth. He knew that God had a heart and a purpose for the people of Israel. He knew about those promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He knew there was something upon God's heart about this nation of Israel. And so, in spite of the way they were acting, his faith was in God. And at the moment in time when they turned to the Lord, he was that prepared vessel, ready to lead them unto the Lord and bring them back into what the Lord had. Praise God for that. And then as he does this, we see how the Lord answered them in such a marvelous way. And they won this mighty victory. And if we look at chapter 7, start reading in 13, it says, so the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more within the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath. And Israel delivered their territories from the hand of the Philistines. So there was also peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He used to go annually on the circuit to Bethel, to Gilgal, Mizpah. He judged Israel in all these places. Then his return was to Ramah, for his house was there. And there he judged Israel. He built there an altar. So we're so thankful here that when the people listened to Samuel, they repented and responded. God was able to bring a peace within the country. It was a peace that they had not experienced for many years. He was able to bring them once this order was established, as they were looking to him as their master, as their Lord, He was able to then move and intervene and bring about. And it's wonderful how in verse 14, it says, even those areas that had been lost were restored to Israel. There was a restoration work done here. Because during the time of Judges, the Philistines had stolen and taken away much of the promised land, much of that great inheritance that the people have had. The Philistines had robbed the people of Israel of that. But praise God, when the Lord was able to come back in with this mighty victory, through this prepared vessel, able to bring the people back into the presence of the Lord, they were able to recover and restore that wonderful inheritance. And we see throughout church history, when things have been lost, the Lord raised up ones to restore and recover much of the riches that we have in Christ. The Lord's continuing today to desire this wonderful restoration work of bringing back all that has been lost, to bring back everything that we have of our Lord Jesus, to show forth the excellency of Him, that there would be that bright testimony. Praise God, there was a vessel that was ready and prepared. And this is what the Lord is looking for in the hour that we're living in, that prepared vessel that can bring the people of God back to Him and prepare the way for the King to come in. So after this great victory, and everything is set up, and everybody acknowledges Samuel is such a wonderful guy, how do they respond? You know, we're fickle people. If you look in chapter 8, the people say, they basically say, enough of this time of judges. We want a king like all the other nations. We want a king like all the other nations. And Samuel, again, you see his humanity. He feels so rejected. Look at verse 7. After the people have said they want another king, and because it said, well, read verse 6. It says, this thing was really displeasing, or the margin says evil, in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. And Samuel was taking this personally. The Lord opened his eyes a little bigger and said, Samuel, they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting me as being king. When the people cried out for a king, it wasn't that the Lord didn't want them to have a king. What was the condemning words that they used? We want a king like all the other nations. That was the issue. The Lord desired a king. They wanted them to know that He was their king. But they wanted a king like all the other nations. They wanted to get along with everybody. Let's just all get along. We'll be like them. They'll be like us. We can have peace. And we see how compromise and peace, it never really works. It's not a true peace. But Samuel, again, he felt rejected. And sometimes when we share things and we're going through this Christian life and fellowship and we're talking to brothers and sisters and they don't receive it, we can feel rejected. Oh, brother, but with Samuel, the Lord comes in and said, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They put it back in a perspective. And we see, so Samuel again, he tells the people, he says, okay, let me tell you what this king is going to be like. And he describes a pretty miserable king. It's not a king that you would like. But the people say, nope, we still want that king. And it's in verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, there shall be a king over us. The point I want to make in this is that in spite of their rejection, Samuel's service to them did not stop here. Samuel continues to serve God and the people of Israel until the king is brought in. Even though they rejected him, up in his face said, no, we're not going to listen to you, he didn't pack his bags up and go home. He continued to be faithful. He continues to serve them faithful to the Lord. That vessel preparing the way of the king. And we see later on how Samuel brings in King David. Once the people got what they wanted and saw that that was just the man of the flesh, then we see how the Lord says, there's a man after my own heart. And Samuel goes and anoints him. Samuel was that prepared vessel to bring in the king, that his kingdom could be established upon this earth. And that's what the Lord's looking for in this stand time. In spite of the battles, the troubles, the rejections, the misunderstandings, all that we might go through, the circumstances in life, the poor spiritual condition, whatever it is, the Lord is still, there's an abundant grace to allow the Lord to form a prepared vessel. As we've looked at these two men, as we've looked at Samson and Samuel, remember, brothers and sisters, they both had wonderful beginnings. They were both so blessed. They were equipped. They had need of nothing, just like us. But then there came that point in their life. There'll come a point after this conference, there'll come a point after in our Christian lives where decisions will have to be made. Are we going to say, I want this, I want to do this? Or are we going to say, not I, but Christ, and follow Him? We saw how one chose to love himself and lost his life. We could say he delayed the coming of the king. The other denied himself and gained his life. And we could say he hastened the coming of the king. In these last days, in the days of crisis that we're living in, we'll be faced with many choices, brothers and sisters. And how will we respond? And who will hinder us? Will we be able to go on in an unhindered way like Samuel because we have that solid and sure foundation and we've allowed the Lord to meet us? And how can we do that? Praise God, because we have the one. We have the overcoming one, that overcoming life living within us. And by His grace, we can deny ourselves. We can take up our cross and we can follow Him that He might prepare us to be that vessel that He desires to hasten His return. Brethren, there's a great conflict and a great battle over preparing the way of the Lord. We see Samuel was faced with great conflicts and great battles. Samuel himself was not so much tormented by the Philistines. He had a greater, harder time with the people of God. And would we be faithful as we continue on to allow the Lord to be meeting us and not allow anything to become that stumbling block, not allow anything to become a hindrance to us, that we could continue running well. And in that running well, every step we take, the Lord is doing a little more work of preparing us to be that vessel that would hasten His return. May the Lord help us. Lord, we do cry out as we say for You to help us. Lord, we know in many ways You have already provided every help in Christ Jesus. Lord, we are so slow to respond. As that hymn goes too, we're prone to wonder. But Lord, we want to just take a moment and allow Your Spirit to be speaking to our hearts. Lord, we're thankful for the lessons that we could see within Samuel's life. There are many others within this life. We just touch on a few. But Lord, would these ones be used to encourage us in this day? There are so many things out there that try to discourage us. But would we know of the all-sufficiency of Your life, enabling us to push on, not just some way, but triumphantly in You? Lord, we don't want to be those that have all the regrets and the what-ifs. And, oh, it could have been this way. But Lord, we want to be those that are continuing to press on for that higher ground. Not to become satisfied, but pressing on that we might know You in a fuller and a greater way. We want to be those, Lord, that are hastening and not delaying Your return. In Jesus' name, amen.